There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Whether you're looking to buy your dream home or rent a sweet apartment, give Redfin your gotta-have-it wish list of property features, and you'll receive real-time notifications tailored just for you. Ready to see it up close and personal? Scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Don't wait to find your perfect match. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.
Wow! Fellow adventurers, we are once again back with Sir Croakington. And we are in the Wome of Cowl Clonor, in the town of Shadowhead, where the disciples of Pauk are engaged in their endless battle against all sorts of nasty stuff, waiting hopefully for the arrival of Pauk's disciple. Which it just so happens, I've already helped them out twice. I had, about 3 years ago in our timeline, an unknown amount of time in their timeline, I recovered one of the crystals that are put in the standing stone that protect the entire town. And then in the previous episode, I rescued the Armorsmith Baldur, which now means that the town militia can be protected so they can fight the various monsters and critters and demons and skeletons and all sorts of nasty stuff that's around here. Because this area is deep in the Neverless, and all sorts of things just flop in all the time. Previous episode, I learnt about imbued weapons which are made by the Brothers Quag. So I'll journey to the forge of the Brothers Quag. As you depart Shadowledge, bound for the mystical forge of the Brothers Quag, the Fëanorians at guard along the town border wish you a swift journey and a safe return. Be ever wary around that, cautions one of the guardsmen. Those two are as unpredictable as any tempest. Fortunately, the journey to the forge is swift and uneventful. As you approach the long stone structure situated atop a barren, boulder-strewn hill several miles from Stadowedge, you note the thick plumes of smoke rising from three chimneys that jut through the ancient roof. The sound of metal striking metal, intertwined with high-pitched maniacal laughter, greets your ears as you stride up and push open the massive doors that lead inside. The forge of the Brothers Quag is like something out of a strange dream. The brothers, two tall, grotesque humanoids, hey, don't call them grotesque, was perfectly lovely, with three arms jutting out of each side of their bulbous four-legged forms, seem to regard you with an unnerving degree of insect interest. They scuttle about on their four legs like giant insects, heading to three furnaces to heat the smithy to an almost unbearable level. What is it you wish, disciple? Asks Enoch as he eyes you curiously. No one ever comes out this way unless they want something, asks Revkim jowly. We find you are usually quite capable of accommodating them. Just to see the imbuable items to Brothers of Quag. The brothers Crag show you a variety of imbuable weapons and pieces of armor that they have crafted in their mystical forge. They watch you with an unnerving level of interest as you look over the selection. See the items here. Forge of the Brothers Crag. This is just a regular shop. It has an imbuable longsword, axe, spear, staff, dagger, mace, club, and there's imbuable breastplates from leather to plate. Plate breastplate has 6 SP, the leather just has 2, and the prices go up as they get better. The plate one is 3,900 gold. Let's just look at the descriptions of some of them. Imbuable longsword. There are currently no Neville items, icons affixed to this item. This is an imbuable item. You may affix icons to it to enhance its attributes. To affix an icon to it, yep. Use. Click the items to view your inventory and then use the items. So, since my most powerful. My powerful weaponry stub skill is. Actually, they're all pretty weak, really. Honestly, I could boost any of them. You know, stabbing is my most powerful. Because that was back when I spent a lot of time using the quick stab dagger or some such. Something like that. And that was my main weapon for a time before I just suddenly decided to use the spruce smasher instead. Because its number was bigger. Yeah, right. Just what to use. Yeah, right. I'm going to buy an imbuable dagger. It's not going to actually use it, just to see what it does. Imbuable dagger, encumbrance of 4. View it. It's of imbuable quality. Please continue. Now you can buy as many. Wait, is each one only buyable once? That makes sense, these things. Alright, if I buy the imbuable axe. Is it now off the list? Yes, okay. So each of these items is unique. There's only one of them in the entire game. Which I guess means they're a lot. Makes them more interesting just to have them. You know, if you just want to get full set of it, all the stuff. Well, I'm not that interested in that, so anyway. The Brothers Crag show you a variety of imbuable weapons and pieces of armor they're crafted in their mystical forge. Then watch you with an unnerving level of interest as you look over the selection. We continue. Leave the forge and return to Shadow Edge. Leaving the forge of the Brothers Crag is not so easy as an endeavor as you would expect. At every step, you are dodged by the two scuttling beings, who seem to conveniently find tasks to attend you directly in your path to the door. Both Xenoch and Rephlin leer at you the entire time as you slowly but steadily progress toward the exit. "You come again," says Xenoch as you reach the door. "Give our regards to the fine citizens of Shadow Edge." "Take care on your journey back," says Rephlin. His words interrupted by minor fits of maniacal laughter. Without a word, you leave the forge and make your way back to Shadow Edge. And I'm there. Okay, let's go have a look at this imbuable dagger. It's got 4, so I don't want to do anything to this. Got to use those icons. So we've got wood icons. Oh, I've got something to identify. Use a carnia to identify. No, I don't want to train it. I want to use it. Use the wood icon of the Dancing Grogue. And it also gets me 16 XP to Arcania, which is probably the main use most people get out of this whole icons system, is that you get 16 Arcania experience for each one you identify, and you get a steady stream of them. So, let's see. Iron Icon of the Warrior Rogue provides 2 melee weighting, 1 melee, and 1 luck. So, if you were lucky enough to get 3 of those, you could get twice a bit of skill to the Icon of a Troll. That provides 1 SP and 1 might. So I'm just going to put some random thing on. Wood Icon of Demon Fire. It's got the power of Demon Fire. So I'm going to use that. You got to use the imbuable items, okay? Imbuable dagger, use. You closely examine your imbuable dagger. Though common by all appearances, this weapon has a strange, otherworldly quality about it. This item may bear up to 3 Neville icons. There are no Neville icons on it right now. So icons I can use are of the Troll, 1 SP, 1 might. Iron Icon of the Warrior Rogue, 2 MR, 1 agility, 1 luck. That would have been quite potent back in the days before you got the shimmering silver longsword, which for many years was the go-to weapon until you got this Spruce Smasher. But that was from a seasonal event, so a lot of people can't get that. Wood Icon of Entangling Vines. Wood Icon of Legendary Body, which provides body. Wood Icon of Heroic Ability, which boosts agility, might, body, mind, and spirit by 1. Very handy. Which is a little bit behind on one of your stats. Legendary Agility. That's just 1 agility. Demon Fire. Provides Demon Fire. Mind. Phantasmal Waff. Ion Icon of Demon Fire. Now, presumably, if it's an iron icon, it triggers more often. I'm going to put that on. Let's just see what happens. Got the iron icon of Demon Fire. What if I also... looks like you're limited to just 1 icon with the power. Oh, and you can also name this weapon. So you can call it whatever you want. That's probably actually I shall name it Fire Stab. We name the item. Okay, and what else? Iron Icon of the Wired Rogue, might as well put that on. And Wood Icon of Heroic Ability, put that on. Look at those stats now. What if I just equip my imbuable dagger? Is the dagger white? Yep. I hope so. Fire Stab. Alright, I'm gonna equip that and fight some random stuff. Fire Stab is now equipped. Right, now I can use it, and I can't put any more icons on. Can I get the icons off again? Forge of the Brothers Crag. And, yep. Can I get them off? Yep. Is there a way to get them off? I'm going to have to check some things. Yeah, I've just checked and you can get the icons removed. Maybe you find a better one. Maybe you want to try out something different. Maybe you just feel like it. Ooh, actually. Now, if you have the icon of heroic ability, and then also have the phantom weapon bonus, you can get +5. What was the one? Agility, body, might, mind, spirit, luck. Right, there's one of the stats missing. Aura. Yeah, yeah. There's an icon for aura, isn't there? Assume so. I'm gonna check that again. Yeah, so anyway, that is a use you could have from this equipment. Use the heroic ability items, icons, or maybe two of them. Well, they don't really gain that much more from having two. But that arm have the phantom bonus, and then you can get +5 to 5 different base stats, which could definitely be handy if you, for some reason, were maybe you didn't roll right, maybe you're playing a pre-roll character. Maybe there's something else going on, and you don't get your stats aren't all at 20. Have an imbuable item, and that can probably boost all your stats all the way to 20 pretty easily. And then you could just have it handy if you ever want to boost a particular stat. Just put that in when you're checking the stat, and then when you're done checking your stat, quickly switch out to something else. Another thing, possibly useful for them, but I think probably the main use, very nameable. Which means you can just, you know, it's fun having different names. Leave the forge and return to Shadow Edge. Alright, leave the realm. You're standing in the northwest corner of the Valorian town of Shadow Edge, in the Neverwall realm of Canalfanar. A large statue identical to the one in the forest outside, Talonus, stands to your right. You know that touching this statue transports you back to the world of Swift. Touch the statue. Everything goes dark as your hand comes to rest on the cold stone of the statue. For a few moments, you are weightless, tumbling through a vast black emptiness towards distant greenish light. Your eyes swing open. You find yourself before the statue in the forest outside Talonus, thankful to once again return to the world of Swift. Without hesitation, you make your way back to the city. Okay. I'm going to have random encounter, wander the realm at random, and get into some fights. Blackbone skeletons. I stab them. Black flames reach out of your weapon and envelop your foe for 5 damage. It's not very much, but maybe I was just unlucky. 5 XP, explore some more. Greater Deathless Tool. I stab. It heals itself, but not too much. It is slain. Keep more exploring. Mountain Goblin Warrior. Masterful Stab, slain. Doesn't seem to be triggering that often. It's special. 2 skeletons. Stab at your enemy. Explore again. Pair of giant rats. Black flames again for 5 damage. That's really not that much of a bonus. Damage bonus. Well, it's a damage bonus rather than an MR bonus. So it applies to everyone. Yep. Flames for 6 damage. Flames for 2 damage. Yeah, it doesn't really seem to do that much. 3 more fights. And then I'll just declare myself done with these things. Black Flames for 8 damage. Okay, you can get a little chunk of damage. It's an Earth Lord. Swipes at you. Which is slain. 5 XP, keep exploring. This will be the last fight. Black Stripe Bear. Flee immediately. It's probably set off on your way. Explore some more. 2 Blackhorn Beetles. Savagely normy. Flames, an uncallable wage. Okay, that is enough. But anyway, that's what can happen with the Demon Fire special ability. I'm probably that's it. That is it. I will probably never use the icons again. Call off your exploration to now. Save. Okay. Back to Shadow Edge. I left again too quickly. Remaining Shadow Edge. Okay. Visit the Watchtower. The Watchtower, a tall structure of wood and stone in the center of the town, serves not only as a lookout point, but also as a base of the well-trained Fenorian scouts, led by a woman named Memuro. A sizable portion of Shadow Age militia was also based here, ready at a moment's notice to watch the defence of the town. Menno greets in a customarily cold fashion as you enter, while she busies herself with rewrapping the hilt of one of her daggers. Volunteer to go on a scouting mission for Memuro. Although the stoic demeanor betrays not the slightest hint of emotion, he says Memuro is pleased to offer, and she introduces to a group of scouts about to leave for routine patrol of the town's border. When she tells you that she will be accompanying them on the patrol, the Flanorian scouts acknowledge your announcement with smiles and gladly welcome you to their ranks. Right. "It will be a pleasure to have you with us, disciple," says one of them, a young Fenorian male named Orthwin. Malmalo thanks you for your service and tells you the group of scouts is leaving for patrol in just a short while. You soon find yourself with a group of 7 well-armed scouts on your way to the outskirts of town. The 8 of you pass through the town gates and begin a careful process of exploration and surveillance along the outer border of Shadow Edge. The patrol proceeds without incident along the outskirts of Shadow Edge, until suddenly one of the scouts issues a sharp warning. Emerging from the forest on your right is a small legion of armor-clad skeletons, behind which strides a tall, robed skeletal figure. The undead quickly spot you and begin marching towards you in a wide column, their swords raised to shoulder height. As you and the Fenorian scouts draw into defensive positions, you count 15 of these fleshless soldiers, including the tall, robed skeleton who remains behind the advancing legion. "Remain where you are and meet the advance of the skeleton, or I could attack the robed skeleton. I'll remain where I am." The Fenorian bravely engages the skeletal legion that comes within range. You quickly find yourself confronted by one of these. Seeing fleshless warriors, it's a skeletal legionnaire. Slashes at you and is slain. 2 XP. You swing over the shattered remains of the skeleton and come face to face with another of the undead soldiers. Skeletal legionnaire. Slashes again and is slain. 2 XP. The sounds of battle wage all about you as you turn to go to the aid of one of your fellow scouts as a skeleton lurches into view, barely missing your head with a nasty swipe of its sword. Begin combat. Skeletal Legion.
GEICO makes it easy to get affordable renter's insurance in as little as 90 seconds. And then you'll start to wonder why everything else isn't so fast. Like, why does it take so long to do the dishes? A meal that's gone in 3 requires 45 minutes worth of dishes. Doesn't make sense. But it does make sense to get renter's insurance through GEICO. That way, that pile of dirty dishes and the other things you love are covered. Get more with GEICO.
Okay. Slashes at you, and is slain. 2 XP. as the last of the skeletons crumples to ground beneath a hail of powerful bellows from one of your fellow scouts. Your eye turns towards the tall robed skeleton. This robed skeleton is making a hasty retreat towards the forest. Well, I can't be having that. It might be going off to raise more dead, or hell, it's necromancer. Or make some sort of giant skeleton mech. Chase after the retreating skeleton, of course. You overtake the fleeing skeleton at the edge of the forest. The fleshless undead wheels about and hisses viciously as it assumes a defensive stance. You note thin tines of crackling blue energy dancing about the tips of his bone fingers. The skeletal mage begin combat. The skeletal mage swipes you with a clawed hand and is now slain. 2 XP. You return to the Thalorian scouts who praise you for your victory against the robed skeleton. One less lightning hurler we'll have to worry about, says one of the scouts. Everyone's status is assessed. The immediate area is scouted, for you once again resume your patrol. The remainder of your patrol proceeds without incident, and you soon find yourself back within the watchtower, behind the protective walls of Shadow Edge with your fellow scouts. After taking a few minutes to rest your weary feet, you bid them all farewell and set off. Right, can anything else happen in this watchtower? Go on, you. How was your first patrol? Asked Morello. There seems to be no end of the talk about you amongst the Circle on Patrol of the Scouts. You soon find yourself with seven. And your native you pass through the town gates and begin a careful process of exploration and surveillance along the outer border of Shadow Edge. Much to everyone's relief, the border patrol proceeds without incident. Having verified the outlier, border of Shadow Edge remains free from any control. You find yourself back within the watchtower, behind the protective wall of Shadow Edge, with your fellow scouts. After taking a few minutes to rest your weary feet, you bid them farewell and set off. It's always good to see you, says Mama. Gone patrol with the scouts. The patrol proceeds without incident along the outskirts of Shadow Edge. Suddenly, one of the scouts issues a sharp warning. Staggering across the broken ground at the edge of the wild moor is a lone skeleton. The solitary undead grasps a rusty short sword in his bony fist. It does not appear to have spotted you yet. Attack the skeleton, of course. You quickly descend upon the lone skeleton and engage it in combat at the edge of the moor. The fleshless undead hisses viciously as it slashes you with its rusty blade. It's a skeleton. Slashes an eye club and it is slain. Correct me. Rejoin your fellow scouts, leaving a pile of bones topped with a rusty blade at the edge of the moor. Everyone's status is assessed in the immediate area scouted for you once again resume your patrol. The remainder of the patrol proceeds without incident, and you soon find yourself back within the watchtower, behind the protective wall of Shadow Edge with your fellow scouts. Okay, I'm going to keep. Watchtower, on patrol again. Nothing happened. Another patrol. Nothing happened. Another patrol. Nothing happened. Three more patrols. One. Nothing happened. Two. Nothing happened. Three. And nothing happened. All right. I think that's enough patrolling. All right. But, more interestingly, a formal adventure has been unlocked. And this is the return of Iron Fist. Out of the primeval forest that surrounds Shadow Edge, sorts a towering, age-old terror known as Iron Fist. Its cruel mind bent on the destruction of the last Fenorian Westviews. Start the adventure. We begin. As you make your way through the center of Shadow Edge, you are approached by a grim-faced Kirin Tarkin. He hastily explains that your help is needed on the Northern Front, where a large number of Fenorian militia are pitching a desperate battle against an age-old adversary known as Iron Fist. Okay, Iron Fist has a lore book link. Iron Fist, a giant of unknown origin, Iron Fist remains one of the more dangerous enemies of the Fenorians of Kalofanar. Standing nearly 14 feet tall, this massive humanoid has a left fist constructed entirely out of iron, a weapon he employs to devastating effect. The blue-skinned giant has a long, flowing silver hair, which is probably tied back, and his head is often capped with a massive iron helmet. Apart from his fist, he's been known to wield a weighty stone hammer. Iron Fist is known to wield powerful magic that allows him to animate stone constructs to do his bidding. At various times, he has waged a large-scale assault against Fenorians with an entire legion of these stone creatures. His last encounter of Fenorians ended with a forced retreat into the stony hills west of Shadow Edge. Many Fenorians remained hopeful that this was the last they would ever see of the fearsome iron-fisted giant. Now, more lore book entries for Stone Construct. These creatures, lifted out of stone by the powerful magic wielded by the giant known as Iron Fist, are typically humanoid in design and really man-sized. Other than their vaguely humanoid shape, these mindless creatures do not possess any other human qualities, nor are capable of independent thoughts. Without the controlling magic of their master, they would simply collapse into piles of rock. Stone constructs possess great strength and know no fear, or anything else for that matter. And one other lore book thing, Stony Hills. This area, to the west of Shadow Edge, has not been inhabited by the Fenorians for centuries. It remains a wild, boulder-strewn landscape of rolling hills, steep cliffs, and sharp, rocky peaks. The giant known as Iron Fist is said to dwell somewhere within the Stony Hills. You learn that the militia are defending an ancient stone bridge that crosses a deep chasm, over which Iron Fist is sending a legion of his cruel minions. They fight valiantly to repel the giant and his minions from the bridge that spans the chasm. With the latest report is that our line is faltering, he says. Sir Glohedon, if you lose the bridge, Iron Fist will gain our outer defences. With only a solemn nod in response, you depart from Shadow Edge. Through every ounce of will bent on reaching the embattled Fenorians before it is too late. Is my horse still here? Or do I have to, run? Spoing! When you arrive at the bridge, you find the Fenorian militia embroiled in a brutal battle against a legion of stone constructs on the south side of the chasm. It was apparent the militia has already ceded the bridge and in the process of falling to regroup as a relenting foe continues its assault. Oh, that's bad news. I mean, the bridge is, narrow and strong and, long. Very defensible. Once we're on an open area, Iron Fist is much ability to just conjure unlimited amount of those stone constructs will really come into its own. I get back on the bridge! And then we can just set up a sturdy line and just hold them into a runs out of whatever it is that he uses to make the stone constructs. Do that while I bonk Iron Fist, perhaps. That's an odd thing to do. Your eyes are drawn to the massive figure standing in the middle of the bridge over the chasm. Iron Fist's arms are crossed, and he watches the raging battle closely. Although you sense the giant is not yet aware of your presence. So we've got two options. Rush into battle and aid the Fenorian militia, or concentrate your efforts on Iron Fist. I'm not a tactician, so I can't really say which of those is better. Now, it does seem that Iron Fist's army is uniquely vulnerable to the removal of the leadership. I mean, with a lot of armies and various entire units of countries and stuff, if you remove the leadership, you get another leader. And they're probably pissed off and just continue fighting. Yeah, right. But with Iron Fists, all the constructs are made by him personally. So, taking him out seems to be a really winning move. Not sure if the constructs will cease to function entirely once he's down, or whether we'll just have to smash the ones that are around. But either way, it'd be a win. But is that actually feasible? All right, random talk number one. Rush into battle and aid the Fenorian militia. You charge into the fray and find yourself confronted by a stone construct. Stone construct? I swing my club. Stone construct swipes you with its heavy fists. Another round. And it's smashed. 2 XP. You barely have time to contemplate your victory when you find yourself facing 2 more stone constructs who have broken through the Fenorian line. Well, we've got to tidy up. We've got to get that line, you know, fixed. Begin construct. All right, I'll smash these. You fix up your line. The stone constructs strike at you with their heavy fists, and they're also slain. 3 XP. Oh, and 7 gold. Suddenly, Fry goes up from the Fenorian, signalling the defeat of the last of the stone constructs. Okay, we've got a victory. I'd have more than that, but I guess the Fenorians are pretty tough and dealt with a lot of them. Fenorians shout warnings and scramble to find cover as Iron Fist begins tearing off and hurling pieces of stone from the bridge. Hey, don't do that. Need that bridge getting to places. One such piece, almost 3 feet long, sails through the air on a direct collision course with you. I have several options now: fortification 20 plus, telekinesis 30 plus, destruction 20 plus, or just dive out of the way, or presumably spring directly above it. What does random.org give me to do? Number between 1 and 4. Number 3, destruction. Channeling it. 16 XP to destruction. It succeeded. The rumble of thunder fills the air as a hurtling slab of stone disintegrates in mid-flight. Your power of destruction has saved you from what have undoubtedly been a particularly gruesome fight. Defeated and humiliated at the hands of his ancient hated enemies, Iron Fist retreats and hastily makes his way into the forest at the edge of the stony hills, and is quickly lost from sight. A loud cheer goes up from the Fenorians as they celebrate the hard-fought victory. But, presumably, he'll be back. It will be many a day before Iron Fist forgets this lesson, says what smiles one of the militia. News of your victory over Iron Fist has preceded your return to Shadow Edge. You arrive in town with the returning Fenorian militia and are greeted by Ithrim Tukum, who somberly congratulates you on a well-fought battle. Must have been a shock to Iron Fist for his eyes to once again behold a disciple in our midst, says Kruin. Kruin says to you as the militia disbands, I fear this is not the last we'll see of him. Yet let us find hope in knowledge that even with all his cruelty and might, he is not beyond defeat. Suddenly, from some far-off corner of the realm beyond the walls of Shadow Edge, a long but faint roar sails over the wind. In the wake of the unsettling sound, you are left to believe that the day approaches when Iron Fist will return. The nerve and steel of the Fenorians will again be tested. And that finishes this adventure. return of Iron Fist with 128 experience to general. Which is nice, I guess. And that's it. That is everything that happens in Shadow Edge. I mean, more stuff does happen, but it hasn't been written yet. I mean, if the GM had, a lot more money, he could get, someone else to write it for him. But it's one guy, and he has to do all the writing, all the coding, all the businessy stuff, and all the customer relations, pretty much everything. I mean, there's a little bit of stuff he can pass on to Mysterious VWK. Whoever you are, I'm very glad for your work. And I hope you are doing well. And I look forward to anything else you may write. Yeah, so this has been sort of just left to the side while the GM focuses on other things. It's a pity, but that's just how it goes. I mean, every game has this. Even games with huge staff. Like in Lord of the Rings, you just have a quest line that just ends. Just ends right in the middle of an area. And then you just got a good old time to go walk to. Everything's laid up. All the maps are done. All the monsters are there. But the quest line just ends. It's quite annoying. And I'm sure there's other things as well. Of course, even if we did do more things, it would just like, what do we do next? So he does that. And then it's like, what's next? And then another thing happens. So what next? Because I think the only way this could really end is if Hulk comes back. Because obviously if Hulk himself is around, we don't need the disciple anymore. But something of that scale, that we're talking proving grounds level adventure, and I don't think this is worth the time. I mean, I'd like it, and if the GM decides to do it, I'd be glad, but it's on the back foot. It's very much on the back foot. Oh, well. And also, no one else can really do it, because we don't have the secret bank of lore that the GM does. Somewhere. You've got all these little notes that tell all the things that we haven't been told yet. So instead, he's focusing on Zafirot, on Zarfmore, and Arcandar, which really like it's going to be a lot more fun than here. But this is next one, too, so whatever, as long as the GM, whatever the GM has to do, let him do it. Anyhow, so next, what, pray tell, will I do? Well, there's four adventures. There's three adventures in four adventures on the list. Grim Proposal, that leads to the whole Dire saga. I think I'll skip that. Whisperers, that's Do a Crime. So skip that. Waymond Payment, that is also Do a Crime. Chamber of Horrors. Now that may well be what I do next, but perhaps I'll find something else. But anyway, until then, farewell, fellow adventurers.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.